This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muslim sensitivity training.
Ask a Muslim. Ask a Muslim. And Sheikh will answer it.
Let's all look at why Muslims are upset.
Ask a Muslim. Ask a Muslim. And Sheikh will answer it.
You're not allowed to have sex.
Ask a Muslim. Ask a Muslim.
And what do we know about the places Muslims live? They live in... Good
Sam. Now, this is the latest in the continuing series of entertaining and educational features on The Kevin and Bean Show. We did Ask a Cop. We've done Acts of Black. We did Ask a Whore just last week. But this is one we've been working on behind the scenes for a while to try to get the right guy in studio, a guy willing to go through metal detectors. And he is here with us today. Sheikh Yasser Fazaga joins us. Do I have that right, Sheikh? Let me start off by asking, did I pronounce you correctly?
Yes, you did. You need to work on the sound there. It's Sheikh. So you either speak German or Hebrew to get that in there.
He's the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. Question number one, what's up with 9/11?
Yes!
Nice.
Psycho Mike said he'd give me $100 if I asked that. Where's the cash?
Delivery was horrible.
Where's the cash?
Did I ask? You barely tried, Kevin.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, that was horrible.
Let's start with... Buck.
You didn't say it had to be good delivery.
No, it had to be the Sean Penn disaster delivery. Where you wait
let's
for
start
silence.
With what's a Sheikh? That sounds like a title. Like, is that like a king?
Actually, it has different meanings. It could either mean somebody who's elderly, so you'd call them Sheikh, or
that's
it could mean... a head of a tribe, very similar to a mayor.
Okay.
Or it could be somebody who has religious education.
And that is you. You are what they call an imam, right?
Right. And remember that there is no concept of clergyman in Islam, so there is no hierarchy. So the title does not indicate anything more than this is the person that just knows a little more than the average person when it comes to theological
There's no hierarchy as far as who's in charge?
There is no hierarchy. Nobody is above me. Nobody is below me. The point
no
is that
kidding.
You just respect whoever has got the education. That's all.
Okay.
But again, and I hope you understand this, Sheikh, we are so ignorant, as many Americans are, about Islam. So please, I hope you'll give us a wide berth on how dumb and naive some of our questions are. But when you see people standing up and addressing large groups of Muslims, and when you see ayatollahs and people like that, aren't they considered hires up in the religion?
No, not necessarily in a theological way. But what happens is that these are people whom they have supposedly established their credibility to the public. They have earned the trust of the public. So when they address them, there is more weight into what it is that they are saying.
I got
you. Now, what's your background? Where were you born? What's your education been like? How did you become an imam?
I was born in Eritrea, in Northeast Africa, small country. It's about 1,000 kilometers along the Red Sea.
Okay.
And I think Long Beach would have been the more appropriate name for that country. And I moved to the Sudan after civil war broke in my country. And then I moved back to the States here in 1987. I went to high school in Irvine. And then I got my BA degree in Islamic Studies and Arabic Sciences.
Okay.
Came down to California. That was in Fairfax, Virginia. Came down to California. Went to Cal State Long Beach to do my master's in counseling. I have not finished that yet. And then I went to Loyola to do my master's in Catholic theology, and I am working on that.
Okay.
Now, Kevin brought up 9/11, which is where most of us even first started giving any kind of serious consideration to learning about Islam. What has it been like for you as an American now since 9/11? Has it been difficult for you?
You know, sadly, the way that most Americans find out about Islam is mostly through headline news.
Mm-hmm.
Something terrible happening somewhere in the world. The perpetrators are Muslims. So you've got 1979, the hostages in Tehran.
Right.
And then 82, the bombings of the Marines in Beirut, and then the hijacking of the Aquila Laura, and then Desert Storm. And just keeps going on and on.
Right.
But I think the worst of it was 9/11, which we consider to be a mass murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no justification. There is nothing Islamic or human about what took place on 9/11. And unfortunately for the Muslim community in the U.S., we were almost defined by 9/11. Every time I speak to people anywhere, they only have one vision, and that is planes diving into the World Trade Center.
Right.
And when they speak to me, I end up defining what Islam is not, but I never get the chance to speak as to what Islam is. And that is very, very frustrating.
I can imagine.
Certainly.
Can you tell me the difference between Islam and Muslim?
Okay. Islam is the name of the religion. It is actually an Arabic word, and Arabic is a Semitic language. time to show off here. I speak half of the Semitic language in the world. I speak four different languages. What do you call a person that speaks four different languages?
Really smart.
Oh, that's bilingual. And then if they speak three languages?
Trilingual.
And if they speak two?
Cuatro, huh?
If they speak one, we call them Americans.
So right.
That's true.
It's funny.
Islam is the name of the religion, and whoever adheres to that religion is called a Muslim.
Okay. Okay.
Like similar to Christianity and a Christian.
Okay.
Same thing.
Now, speaking of Christianity, a religion that many of us are familiar with, the basic tenet of which is you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you die and you go to heaven. Okay. What would be the shorthand version of what the principal tenet of the faith is for Islam?
Make sure you have a proper relationship with God. Don't only just believe in His existence, but you should have a personal relationship with Him that should impact your life positively. And that relationship is expressed in how you deal with the creation of God. That is really the gist of it. So Islam gives the principles and the guidelines and the values of how you should lead that life, where you have a proper relationship with God, but at the same time, you also have a proper relationship with what God has created. And in other words, it is as a Muslim, you're supposed to submit to the will of God, surrender to Him, and that will be your way of attaining peace in this world and salvation in the hereafter.
So there is a hereafter if you're a believer in Islam.
Yes, we do believe that there is a hereafter, and it is physical. It's not an abstract idea.
Okay.
And this life is what we call, this is a time where we study, and it's our exam. And then later on, we will be held accountable for the choices that we made. And some are going to be rewarded, and some are going to be dealt with.
If you're just joining us on K-Rock and are confused as hell because you thought there'd be a wacky Ralph Garman voice in the other room, it's actually Sheikh Yasser Fazaga, who's the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. We are doing Ask a Muslim. We have so many more questions, and I know you do too, but I think we need to take a break right now. Is that right, Kevin?
Yep.
Then come back and get into more of that. Ask a Muslim, 1-800-520-1067. Your questions, more conversation with the Sheikh when we return on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock.
Welcome to Muslim Sensitivity Training.
Ask a Muslim, ask a Muslim, and Sheikh will answer it.
Let's all look at why Muslims are upset.
Ask a Muslim, and Sheikh will answer it.
You're not allowed to have sex.
Ask a Muslim,
and what do we know about the places Muslims live? They live in good sand.
It is Ask a Muslim on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. Our guest, and it's a real treat to have him in the studio this morning, is Sheikh Yasser Fazaga. He is the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. We did Ask a Whore last week. I don't know if you heard that one or not, Sheikh, but very different conversation than we're having here today. I got to be
very
honest.
Very different.
Great questions. Let's start with... Wow, all good. Let's start with Ray. How about that? Ray in Glendale might be a good starting point for those of us who know so little about the Islam faith.
Ray, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Oops, I'm sorry. This is Ryan. I got the wrong one. Sorry, my bad. Ray, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, could you tell me what the Quran is, and are there any parallels between it and the Holy Bible?
Well... The Quran is the name of the book that the Muslims consider to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered to be the word of God. And generally speaking, it discusses very quickly five different subjects. God and who He is. It talks about stories from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the Day of Judgment. It talks about the do's and the don'ts of a Muslim. And then it also speaks about the character of a Muslim. And there is a great deal of parallel accounts between the Quran and the Old Testament, specifically the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the stories that are mentioned in the Old Testament, they have parallel accounts to in the Quran.
Oh, is that right?
They are different,
mm-hmm.
but there is common characters, common themes are there.
Okay.
As far as the New Testament is concerned, the only mentioned characters in the Quran from the New Testament are Zechariah, Mary, and John the Baptist.
Okay.
And generally speaking, the disciples of Jesus with no name given on them.
Okay.
But there is, I teach a course, it's called Introducing the Bible to the Quran Readers,
mm-hmm.
and Introducing the Quran to the Bible Readers via comparing and contrasting parallel accounts in both books.
If there are so many similarities between the Old Testament and the Quran, why does it seem like so many Muslims and Jews are at odds with one another?
You know, that is really sad. And historically speaking, Muslims and Jews got a lot better together than either one of them did with Christianity. For example, the golden age of both Muslims and Jews was in Spain. Moses Maimonides, who was the greatest Jewish philosopher, wrote his most important books in the Arabic language, and he did not even write it in the Holy Tongue, which is Hebrew. We've got some of the best theological debates that took place was between Muslims and Jews in Spain, and I think this being them being at odds at this point, I think it has a lot to do with what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah,
but theologically speaking, Muslims are much closer to the Jews than they are to the Christians.
Okay. Thank you for the call on that. Now let's go to that Ryan call. He's on line 3 in Buena Park. It's Ask a Muslim on the Kevin Abin Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Ryan. Go ahead. You're on with the Sheikh.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Ryan.
Hi there.
Hey, I was just wondering, what's this the pilgrimage to Mecca thing all about? Have you done it? Do you know anybody that has done it? What's the deal with that?
Yes, I did. The pilgrimage is one of the pillars of Islam. It is one of the 5 pillars of Islam.
So you're supposed to do it if you're
If you're
Muslim?
Able physically and financially. It is once in a lifetime visit to Mecca. And what it is, it's a beautiful family reunion of the entire human race. And what happens, there would be about 2.5 million people there, all dressed the same, all doing the same prayers. And it is to emphasize the equality of humans. And as you recall, that was the turning point in the life of Malcolm X. Malcolm X was here in the U.S., being part of the Nation of Islam, believed that white people were inherently evil and that black people were inherently good and that God was black. He goes to Hajj, and he is surprised to see that there were blonde people, blue-eyed people in Hajj with him. And that's when he was introduced to Orthodox Islam. So I did do it. I was fortunate enough, the school invited us to go for Hajj back in 94. I couldn't have afforded it on my own. It's about $6,000 to $7,000 if you want to go by yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why do so many people get trampled every year when they do the thing in Mecca? It seems like there's always a great deal of injuries.
Unfortunately, that is the case. There is some sort of bad management in how the traffic is controlled. And you also have lots and lots of people who do not have any place to stay in.
Yeah.
So they end up staying under bridges. They end up staying on the streets, and they cause great, great amount of stampede.
I see. It's just too many people in too small an area without proper accommodations. That makes
actually,
a lot of sense.
It is too small of an area with about 2.5 million people there.
Wow. Sheikh, do you pray 5 times a day toward Mecca? Is that something that is part of your daily ritual?
It is actually, and this morning I started driving before it was time for the first prayers. So I actually did my prayer of the day here in the station.
Oh, that's not allowed, by the way. By the way, the Sheikh said when he was driving in, he heard Bean refer to him coming in on a camel, and he thought that was very funny.
Know.
He almost spit his coffee out.
I did. That was hilarious.
We're doing Ask a Muslim. So Sheikh Yasir Fazaga is here. He's the religious director for the Orange County Islamic Foundation. I want to ask you a question. My biggest problem with the Muslim faith is their treatment of women. So I'd like to get your answer on that. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back at 1-800-520-1067. I know you aren't the same as everyone else, but maybe you can help answer that. And any other questions, 1-800-520-1067.
The world-famous K-Rock. The Kevin and Bean Show.
We're doing Ask a Muslim on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Sheikh Yasir Fazaga is here with us, the religious director for the Orange County Islamic Foundation. Your call's at 1-800-520-1067. And before we go back to the phones, Kevin, you had a question for the Sheikh.
Yeah, I'm not all that studied, but it seems like women are way second-class citizens in much of the Muslim world. They can be...
Hell yeah.
What?
Beaten. Hell yeah.
Sorry, Bean?
They
can be beaten. They're in some places, they're supposed to be beaten.
They can be killed.
They can be stoned. A guy can divorce them for looking at some. I mean, it just seems like the treatment of women is so bad in most of the Muslim. Is that accurate? Or?
Unfortunately, in a good part of the Muslim world, that is the case. Unfortunately, again, people confuse the cultural practices of people with the principles of the religion.
But isn't that what they're using to get the right to beat or
treat
them poorly?
We all have had our fair share of misusing and abusing the name of God.
Right.
As individuals, as nations, as different, you know, religious communities. So unfortunately, in some places, they do that.
It seems so accepted. I think that's my problem with it, is it just seems like women are abused, and most people just seem to be okay with
that. Well, see, remember also with domestic violence here in the States, a woman is beating, every half a minute?
Yeah.
And the thing is, here we talk about it. We address it as an issue, as a problem that is worthy and rightly so. In the Muslim case, I don't think that has happened yet. But changes are taking place. Just to give you a quick example.
Will that happen?
Yes, it's already happening. Give you a quick example. 60% of college students in Iran are actually females at this point. You've got the most populated Muslim country is ruled by a woman. That's in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister is a woman. Mm-hmm. The second most populated Muslim country, Bangladesh, is ruled by a woman. Prime Minister is a woman. She's also handicapped, by the way. The third most populated Muslim country, Pakistan, the Prime Minister was a woman. The fourth most populated Muslim country, India, was also, the Prime Minister was a woman, Indira Gandhi there. So the change is taking place. Unfortunately, the change is slow, but calls for reformation, social reformation, are happening.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Great answer. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Kevin in Santa Ana. He's on line 8. And I know that, as you said when you came on, Sheikh, you spend a lot of time talking about what Islam is not based on Americans' perceptions of your religion, based on what they hear in the news. And I think that's where Kevin's question is coming from. Good morning, Kevin. You're on the air. Ask a Muslim.
Yeah. My question is, how come in this country we hear about how Islam is a religion of peace, yet across the world they're killing each other and doing all these horrible things, but you don't ever hear anybody specifically denounce that sort of activity? Why doesn't anybody speak out against all the killing and that kind of stuff?
The criticism is very valid, and I remember that within the Muslim community in the U.S., people would come out to us and they say, you haven't said enough about 9/11. You have not criticized those who have done, and we did. Unfortunately, criticism and rebuking and denouncing these statements and these behaviors, it's not very exciting. It's not newsworthy. It's almost like, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And in our case, you know, trying to denounce a behavior like this, there is nothing exciting.
You don't think there's too few people doing it?
You know, we are very loud about
not
our criticism.
Of course, but I'm saying across. I mean, especially in the Middle East, are there people who criticize loudly?
They do, and I don't think it's loud enough, though. I'll have to be honest with that one. It is not loud enough. And sadly, Muslim against Muslim violence is also increasing. And I know that maybe some members of my own community would not want me to say this. But if you look at it, in Afghanistan, it's Muslims who are killing Muslims.
Yeah.
In the Sudan, in Pakistan, like you've seen with Benazir Bhutto attempted assassination there. Mm-hmm. And you just name it in Iraq.
Even in Iraq, yeah, there's...
I mean, isn't part of it that it's very dangerous in certain parts of the world to come out and speak against radical Muslims?
It is, and I think that the idea is not only amongst Muslims. If you remember in Ireland, Protestants killing Catholics, that went on for some time as well. But there is just this religious jealousy where people compete to claiming the truth, but not necessarily the implementation of that truth, where people claim peace, but they don't act it out.
Right. Sheikh, how did the United States get to be the great Satan? Why are we the infidels, and why does it seem to us, maybe just based on news reports, that there are so many Muslims around the world who hate everything that we believe in and everything that we do?
Very quickly, two things. The infidel is not a Muslim term. We do not have that. We do not have that term. That term actually originated from the Catholic Church. Secondly, this question as to why do people hate us, I think it has to be rephrased. I don't think there is hatred. Like I said, I was in Romania this last week, and everybody wants to come to the U.S. Everybody is listening to American music. They're watching American TV. They're buying American products. So there is really no hate there. What there is a lot of resentment, and this resentment is directed more towards the policies and not necessarily to the people there. We had a Muslim theologian who once came to the U.S., and he was just surprised when he came to the U.S. by the decency and the generosity and the goodness of the people. And he made a very profound statement. He said, Americans are the most decent people. Unfortunately, their decency does not go beyond the ocean. And he was referring to the fact that those who represent the people do not necessarily have the policies that express the decency of these people. And I'm not talking about the Muslims only, but Americans are not looked at as good because of the current administration in South America, in parts of Asia, in parts of Africa. And I can tell you this as an African. We always felt that we were exploited by the Western world, specifically by the U.S.
Because the government would sometimes back rulers of countries because they were friends of the U.S. as opposed to good for their people, those kinds of
And people
activities.
See this. We spit on some of the dictators, and yet we embrace others. And people are not dumb.
Yeah. Would you say that George Bush is or is not a hero to the Muslim people?
I think we would have to agree with the majority of Americans.
You're right.
Say that
we can all agree on that.
Do I remember, though, guys, that there was video shortly after 9/11 of people on the street, not people in the military, not people in the government, but people on the street who were cheering at the fall of the Twin Towers? And maybe that's where my impression comes, that there were people who were happy, Muslims, who were happy to see harm come to this country.
Yes, some people... I refer to that video. It happened in Palestine. And it reminded me of the reaction of some of the people within the African-American community when O.J. Simpson was acquitted.
Yeah,
they were not celebrating the murder of Nicole and her boyfriend. That's not what they were celebrating. But you know what? It is one of us who did it and got away with it.
Right.
And within that celebration, it was, you know what? Now get to feel what we've been feeling, where missiles would hit our homes in Gaza and in the West Bank. Now, maybe when you get a chance to see that, you will be more sympathetic towards our cause.
Well, in Palestine, it's not surprising because we support Israel.
Yeah, most of them weren't from Palestine. They were from Saudi Arabia and other places. Is it all about the Jewish war with the Palestinians? Is that 90% of the problem?
Well, if we listen to what they have been telling us, their grievances is the presence of the U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, the unconditional backing of Israel in the Middle East, and on top of that, the unconditional support for a great majority of the Muslim dictators who are ruling the Muslim world. So their grievances is, we can do this with our people, but you know what, let's look into the big guy that's being supporting all these activities. And in that case, it happened to be the U.S.
Let's talk to Mario in Whittier real quick. We got a question about the afterlife we touched on briefly in our discussion of the Quran. It's Ask a Muslim on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ. Mario, good morning. You're on with the Sheikh. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a question. What is up with leaving the 22 virgins in the afterlife after martyrdom?
Yes, I have heard different numbers. I've heard 22, I've heard 70. And
I hope it's 70. I hope that's the right number.
Where does that come from?
Actually, the Quran does refer to some of the reward that people will have in the afterlife. And it speaks about partners that will be granted to people who have done good. And it speaks about them. The term that is given is hur, which means somebody who is viceless, somebody who is pure. So when you die and you make it to heaven, this will be part of the reward that you get. Now, that is only a small physical reward that you will get in the hereafter. But the majority of the Quran, when it speaks about the hereafter, this is not what it concentrates on. It rather speaks about the greatest reward will be is that in paradise, there will be no grief and there will be no anxiety. This is the reward that is repeated.
Do you believe in the 22 virgins or however many virgins? I mean, it sounded like it does refer to it, and you didn't disagree with it.
No, the Quran
is a small part of it.
The Quran does refer to it. It does not make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
It does refer. The Quran does. Sexual pleasure is something that the Quran does not look down upon, as long as it's put in the proper channel.
But if you're saying someone is viceless who gets that, then you're talking about what in a Christian religion would be a saint or a Catholic religion, someone that's that magnitude. Yeah.
Yeah. The purity, the belief is that these people are created up in heaven. They are not of the creation of the earth.
I always thought virgins, how fun can that be? You know, you need someone with some experience.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Now,
what about the people's sheikh? I know we're almost out of time. I just have one more question. What about the people who believe that the way to get the best deal in the afterlife, and I know that's a dumb way to put it, but is through martyrdom? Like that's the ultimate way to express your love of Allah and your Islam faith is to somehow become a martyr by blowing something up and taking yourself with you? Because there seems to be no shortage of suicide bombers, for instance, who are willing to die for their cause.
Unfortunately, what you have is this idea that the greatest sacrifice would be to give up my life for my cause. But remember this, the nobility of the cause is very important. It's a prerequisite. Martyrdom, I believe, which we refer to it as the concept of jihad, is a very noble mission, which basically means it is the elimination of injustice, regardless of who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed. Islam says that when you see this, you have got responsibility. You either eradicate it physically, you speak against it, or you denounce it in your heart. I remember a beautiful word that was said by Father Desmond Tutu when he said, in a situation of injustice, if you decide to be neutral, then you have chosen the side of the oppressor. So now the point is, you see this, you've got to do something about it, even if it means that you give up your life in the process.
Aren't most of the oppressive governments Muslim?
Unfortunately, that is the case.
Where's the focus on that? It seems like they should be focused on that more than...
Well, you're going, in their case, the belief is that you're going for the big head that is keeping them where they are. And in this case, it's the Western world. And by the way, speaking of suicide bombers, where do you think most suicide bombers come from, if we were to watch the news?
Probably Santa Ana.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Palestine?
Actually, if you go
Pakistan,
to the State Department...
Saudi Arabia?
If you go to the State Department website, most suicide bombers come from Sri Lanka.
Really?
And they're not actually Muslims, and they're not religious people. The Tamil Tigers, it is a secular cause. The first suicide bomber, or the person that took the first suicide mission in Palestine, was actually an American, Baruch Goldstein from New York, a medical doctor. He went down there during the month of Ramadan while the people were worshipping, and he killed about 42 of them. And, of course, he was killed in the process.
Right. We're kind of out of time. We've been doing Ask a Muslim. The religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation, Sheikh Yasir Fazaga, is here. And I just wanted to give you 1 minute. You said one of your biggest, most frustrating things in life is that you have to say what Islam isn't. So wrap it up by saying what Islam is.
Islam is a religion that is adhered to by 1.5 billion people or 1.4 billion people in the world. It is a religion of peace, and I know that sounds cliche. It is a religion of submitting to the will of God. It is a religion of reaching out to people. It is a religion where you have a proper relationship with God, where you are given principles to live by, and these principles revolve around your character, and that character must manifest itself in the way that you deal with other people. Believing God, manifested in rituals. Rituals must impact your character, character that shows when you deal with other people. We've got statements by the Prophet Muhammad, that is, peace be upon him, where he speaks about those who are loved by God are those who are of most benefit to humanity. Those whom God loves are those who are in help of the people out there. And I would invite all your listeners to please just call your local Islamic center and see, you know what, just go ahead and visit us, and we are more than happy to accommodate people and invite people in. Go to our website, if I may say that.
Sure.
OCIF.org. That's the Orange County Islamic Foundation.org. You know, give us a call, pay us a visit, and we would love to have a chit-chat with you.
Very nice. Our guest has been the Sheikh, Yasir Fazaga. Thank you so much for joining us, Sheikh. I want to go out into the parking lot and give your camel some carrots before he takes off. great to meet you. I hope we'll stay in touch. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks very much.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The world famous K-Rock.